Good evening. Going over to Elk Lake is always a great time. Potluck is always a good time here as well. But the lunch at Ron and Judy's is something to speak of. It is fantastic. And so you will be well fed. A lot of food will be on the table because they always expect that Albo's coming. But no, it's going to be you there. And Judy did tell me when Albo comes over, she makes a lot of food. But also, she did say this, a lot of work gets done when Albo's over. So it's good to know that as well. So with that in mind, we'll turn to the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 is what we'll consider this evening. Last time I spoke on work, and this time I'm going to speak on suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And two topics that are not maybe the things that are fun to talk about, but it's something that has been in my mind for a while, and just want to share some of the things that the Lord has put in my heart this evening. So we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, and this is what it says. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Once again, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Just for some context before we move into that verse and kind of break that verse down, this is a little small section of a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And Timothy is a young man, a man that is called, that's very dear to Paul. We clearly see that in the first letter and the second letter, because he uses the word son twice in the first letter and also twice in the second letter as well. If you look at the first letter, he addresses him as son, a true son in the faith. In the second letter, he addresses him as beloved son, my son. So clearly, Timothy has this a special place in Paul's heart, and we see there's a nearness that Timothy has with Paul and Paul has with Timothy. And it's just lovely to see that, and we see that throughout the two letters. We also see that there is a lot of care for Timothy. Paul really cares about how he is going to carry out the work that's entrusted in him. So he really cares about that. So we see that really amplified as we read through these two letters, that there's a lot of care that Paul has for Timothy and for him to be built up, to succeed as a young man that continues to work for the Lord. And one of the things that I often do when I read or any passage or a book of the Bible is one of the first questions that I ask is, what have I learned about God, his abilities or his attributes or his ways, etc.? And then the second question I often ask is, what is he requiring of me? I think these are two good questions to have in your mind as you go through the books of the Bible or any chapter or a verse. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're gonna touch briefly on what I have learned about God. And also, we're going to touch more and spend the remainder of the evening thinking about what does he require of me and of us this evening. So first thing, what do we learn about God? So we learn that he cares for his children. That is really seen, reflected in Paul's desire for Timothy to continue on with success, to continue on with strength, continue on without falling behind. He wants him to continue on. So that message is very clear to Timothy, and God really wants us to continue on with success as well. He clearly wants his disciples to succeed. Another thing we learn about God is that he cares about our conduct, because multiple times in these two letters, Paul talks about what the conduct should be of Timothy as well. So those are two things that we just want to quickly address that we learn about God. And there are many other things that we can definitely talk about on what we learn about God as we read through these letters. But the big picture, the question that we're going to spend the remainder of the time this evening is what he requires of me and you. And we're going to answer that question just by looking at this one verse in chapter 2 of verse 3. And it says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So right off the bat, we know we're in the Lord's army. We sing of that from very little. And we even sing of that at this very moment in time because you have kids and you want to sing to them as well. So you teach them that song, "You're in the Lord's army." And being part of the Lord's army, there is a requirement, and it's not a fun requirement. It's not something that we look forward to. It is that we are going to suffer hardship. So we will suffer hardship. And no soldier that's ever been to the war, into the battlefield, has ever walked out there and thought, "I wasn't expecting hardship. This is not what I've signed up for." All soldiers that have signed up for is expecting some sort of hardship as they get into battlefield. The height of the hardship might be something that they're not really aware of, but once they get down to the ground, they'll really understand the height as well. But they accept hardship. And as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we expect hardship in our lives, right? And it's something that is either happening at this very moment in time, or it's something that's going to come in the near future. And it's something that we will have to wrestle with, that we will suffer hardship. And some translations say share in suffering. And so as Paul calls Timothy, he likens him to as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, who is going to suffer some hardship. We, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, will suffer hardship. And that is going to be something that's going to be required of us as well. And so does the Bible, do we see this being true of suffering hardship in the Word of God? And we look at the life of Paul, right? The one who penned this letter, we can look at his life and we can see that he did suffer hardship. He suffered for the gospel. And we have this list of things that he suffered for in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23-29. I'll just give you a short summary of that. We don't have to go read there, but it talks about how he was beaten with rods. And that happened in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas were there and they were beaten with rods and put into jail. And something wonderful happens after that, and we'll talk about that later. Then another thing that happens to him in regards to suffering and hardship, that he was stoned. That's in Acts 14. He was stoned, and they dragged him out of the city, and they thought he was dead. So that was something that he suffered. Shipwrecked. He faced dangers from robbers, countrymen, people among that who he called brethren. He had sleeplessness and hunger, nakedness. That the list goes on of how much Paul, as a servant of God, as a soldier of God, suffered in how he had to carry out the work of the gospel. And so maybe the world that we live in at this very moment in time, or the particular place that we're in, we might not be able to fully enjoy or understand this. But I can tell you this for sure, that in the other parts of the world, I have a cousin who is doing some missionary work in Northern India. And in Northern India, it's not a place of open doors and you can proclaim the gospel. So he would message on the WhatsApp group once in a while, "Oh, pray for us, because one of the officials from the government has come in and asked, why are you doing this? Why are you speaking the good news that all these religious Hindus are turning to Christ?" So they're offended by that. And so this, he has faced much danger and persecution. So this does still happen in some certain parts of the world. We cannot discount that. Where we are, not so much. But again, the suffering for the hardship for the gospel does play a place in here as well, in different forms compared to the other parts of the world. Now, there is also hardship from within, and that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. We won't get to that, but this is where, we won't read that out loud, but this is where Paul talks about how he planted the church at Corinth, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So after these things happened, the church decided that we're just going to have two parties. One's going to be after Paul, and one's going to be for Apollos. And I would suggest that that letter that Paul wrote there was some trouble and hardship and some affliction that he endured, because this is something that he has planted. He labored with Apollos, and God ultimately gave the increase. And now he's writing this letter to this church in Corinth, who is just doing everything against the will of God. And so that, you know, that hardship comes from within, right? We sometimes we're trying to live in unity and in harmony, but cause suffering to one another. Like, I can definitely think of times in my life that I've done that to someone, to cause them pain, cause them trouble, cause them grief. And so as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as we work with one another, there will be some bruises that we'll leave on one another. And that is something that we should expect as we walk on this earth, as we journey together as soldiers of Jesus Christ. We also suffer hardship from ones very near to us. If you want to turn to 2 Timothy, you're already there, so go to chapter 4, verse 10. We get to hear about a person named Demas. And this man caused some grief to Paul. This is what it says: "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." We'll stop there before I butcher all the rest of the pronunciation of all those wonderful cities. We see that Demas has forsaken Paul. One very near, someone that labored with Paul, has forsaken him, and because he has loved the present world, he has been caught up by the affairs of this life. And so sometimes hardship is brought to us by someone very close to us. And I'm sure we can think of that as well. We can think of times in our lives where suffering has come because of someone that we labored very close with. Once they were right by us, and now they're no longer there. And that can, again, cause us much, much grief. And we can also think of our Lord and our Savior, right? We think of him when we see him very near to the cross. We see the people that he spent the most amount of time with, the people that the disciples who saw the authority of God just being done day after day. This is what we read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 56. "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." The ones very near, I'm sure that brought grief to the Lord as he made his way to the cross to die for our sins, right? The ones who were very close to him brought grief to him as well. So as soldiers of Christ, it shouldn't be a surprise to us if that is something that happens in our lives as well, where someone near and close to us causes us suffering or grief. Now, there is a reason why I went into much detail, because one of the things that I often did is, when I thought about the word suffering, I thought about infirmities, physical infirmities, and that's all I could think of. But that is just so little compared to just the different areas of suffering that we could endure, that we would have to go through. So finally, last area of suffering, the hardship that we could face, could be, is this. In 2 Corinthians 5:4, it talks about this idea: "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened." Just want to stop there. And it's this idea of hardship from the fallen world, right? There is hardship in this fallen world that we live in. And the tent, speaking of the body of death that we carry each day. And with that body of death comes many infirmities. And that is something that it's going to increase by the older we get. You know, I can look at Steve and I can see all kind of infirmities as he gets older and older, right? He's looking for the best time. It's not coming anymore. It's over, because he's getting older and older. And the same thing for me, right? Like, I'm not going to hit a ball any farther. This is probably going to be it. My son might pass me, but that's it. So as we get older, there are more infirmities. And those things, you know, they cause us hardship in our walk, in our mission as soldiers of Jesus Christ. So we're up against quite a bit. I think we have really flushed out all the different areas where we can expect hardship to come from. And so we shouldn't be surprised if that were to happen. So we looked at Paul, the different ways he suffered. We looked at Christ as well and how he suffered from his ones that are very near to him. And we can, again, expect the same as well. And you might be at this point thinking, well, I don't know if I want to sing I'm in the Lord's Army anymore. And, you know, I really, as I was thinking about this, it's not a warm invitation to be part of the Lord's Army, right? It's something that we have to wrestle with and we have to really grasp. But this is something that we would notice in all these different areas that Paul suffered or in what Christ suffered. We would learn this, that pushing forward produces fruit, that if we push forward, it does produce fruit. We think of the incident in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were beaten, right? And they were beaten and they were put into jail. You know what happens after that? It's the story of the Philippian jailer, where the whole family gets saved, right? So, yep, there was suffering there. That happened. There was hardship. But the end result was something that was of good, which was that they were able to present the gospel and a whole family got saved. So there is it's good to push forward as we endure hardship. Also, when we read the second letter to the Church of Corinth, things have gotten better. And that's such something to give God thanks, because here's a church that was causing some grief to the ones that planted and watered, but now it has improved, and that's something that is good. Imagine if Paul was like, "I'm done. This is it. I'm not doing this anymore." That would have been tragic. But now we have two letters, and the second letter confirms that things have improved. And we look at the cross, right? The suffering that he endured is something that we will never be able to fully understand. But through that, we have victory over death, and we have victory over the grave. We also have a restored relationship with the Most High God. So pushing forward produces fruit. And so we, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, as we endure hardship, we're required to push forward. So we'll discuss how we can push forward for the remainder of the time. So as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we are required to suffer some hardship, suffer some grief, but we're also required to push forward, because pushing forward is going to end us with a life that's fruitful. And we care about being fruitful Christians. So as some examples we'll think about as we consider how we can push forward. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It's a familiar verse that we often read, and this is what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So to advance forward in times of hardship, we have to look ahead. And that's what our Savior did, right? He looked ahead and he saw the joy that was set before him, the fact that you and I, who were created in the image of God, who have no relationship with God, can now can be called children of God through that work that's on the cross. So as we go through suffering, what can we look ahead at? I think what we can look ahead at is the hope of his coming. And that's what is exhorted in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. End of chapter 4, we get the teaching on the rapture. And that's to a church who was suffering heavy persecution, heavy affliction. And as they were suffering through that, this is the comfort. This is the look ahead to this is what Paul writes to them. It's written, comfort one another with these words, which is that the Lord's going to return. He's going to meet us in the air. All of this will be done away and we'll be with him forever. So the hope is for the soldier of Christ is to look ahead and see that in a very short time, in a in a he will be here soon, and that we can be with him forevermore, right? I think it's Corrie ten Boom that said this, if you look down or look around, you'll be very depressed, but if you look up, you'll be encouraged. So I think I butchered that quote, but the idea is this: we look ahead. We look ahead as in our times of suffering. The trumpet of God will sound, and we will be with him forevermore. So that should offer us comfort, and that is the words of comfort that Paul wrote to the folks in Thessalonica. Another way to push forward in times of suffering is to dwell on his word. And so hardship, often what it does is, I don't know about you, but when there's time of grief or suffering or whatever that we're facing, or when I'm facing that, my mind stays in this loop, and this is the thing that we're just going to talk about all day long or think about all day long, and I just cannot get out of that. And so we dwell on that so often, and it causes issues like we forget what we're doing, or we forget to do something, or what we should be doing, we're distracted, right? And then we try to take our mind off of that by, you know, taking out our phones, our wonderful little rectangle, shiny little things, and we look at that and we get just some momentary relief. And then we put it back down. And the momentary relief that you got took probably about 5 hours of endless scrolling, right? And so all of that produces nothing. It's not going to help you move forward. So what do? We have to fill our mind with the word of God, not just to simply take our mind off of it, but to know what is the guidance that the Spirit of God is giving us in this circumstance. What truth is he leading to us? And oftentimes when we spend in reading and in immersing ourselves with the word of God, we will have a sound mind. And that is what we will get, because this is truth. These are things that we would list off from Philippians 4:3, right? Philippians 4:3 says this, you know, to dwell on true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, praiseworthy things, and meditate on those things. So as we suffer hardship, as we are suffering from grief or whatever that is, we want to fill our minds with the word of God, because what we find in there are things that are lovely to meditate on, things that are pure to meditate on, things that help us in regarding of the circumstance. It helps us to navigate which way we should head forward. So the believer's meditation is something of substance, right? It's not of nothingness. It's not a void. It's of substance that we could meditate on, and it really does help us move forward as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Now, moving on, another way to advance as a soldier of Jesus Christ is to pray. You might have noticed this probably a lot, maybe too much. No, probably not too much. There is a focus on reading your Bible and praying every day, and I don't think I'll ever drop that till I die, because these are two core things that we often, for some reason, we neglect. We do everything else except just getting into that discipline of daily reading and speaking to him as often as we can. And again, going through hardship, coming back to what we're speaking on, going through hardship, this is a time where we should be spent. We should spend in prayer. We can read of James 5:13. This is what it says. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And so the first part of the verse is what we want to focus on. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Look to the Lord in prayer. And the example of this is just so perfectly done by the early church. The early church was under great persecution, and this is what we read of them. They often come in one accord, and this is what they do. This is what they say. Chapter 4:29 in Acts. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. So the early church came together in one accord. They are asking for boldness to move the word of God forward so that more and more can be called children of God, right? And it's also interesting to note that in that prayer, We don't see anything about, take this away from us. You know, we can ask for that. That's not wrong to do. We can ask for things to be taken away, but they are asking for boldness to keep moving forward, to advance forward so that the word of God can be reached to as many lost as it can. So it is interesting to note that. And it's also a lovely privilege that we have in the Lord's army. We don't have to have a special permit to see our master, to speak to him. We don't need to make appointments 5 years in advance to see him, or we don't need a special place to meet the master. Wherever you are, right, as we suffer grief or hardship, we can look to him at any time and in any place and bring our requests up to him, and he surely does give us help in our times of need. So we can look to him for prayer, and that will help us advance as a soldier of Jesus Christ. We can also be proactive in prayer as well. I could not find the reference, but Paul does at times speak of asking for a free course for the word of God to go through as well. So we could be proactive in our prayer as well, right? If we are going to, and that's what we're kind of doing. As Skeptic Nights gets closer and closer, I hope we're all praying for people to be there, for the word of God to be presented clearly, so that many would know Christ as their Savior. So we can proactively get together and pray so that the word of God goes forth and has a free course, that there is no suffering that or hardship that would block that from happening. So we discussed looking ahead. That's one way to advance. Looking ahead, knowing that Christ will return at any moment, that will really help us move forward as we suffer as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Also, looking at his word, it really helps us to dwell on things that are pure, noble, things that are true, things that are praiseworthy. That will help us to advance as good soldiers of Jesus Christ as well. Also, spending time in prayer. This is the time where we can bring our heaviness, bring things that are discouraging to him for his help in our time of need. And finally, the last and final thing that I want to touch on is this. You know, during hardship, what are we looking for? We're looking for refreshment and encouragement, right? We're not looking for more discouragement. We're looking for refreshment and encouragement. And where can we find this? I want to suggest to you, we can find this among the children of God. And one of the phrases that you'll often see is this, edify one another. I've thought about this quite a bit. And that it has different variations of that phrase. And the word edification and edify and building up, prompting up or encouraging, that's often is a word that we see that Paul uses quite a bit. And as children of God assembled together, that is, I would say, it's the main aim, right? So if the aim is to build one another up, edify one another, then this is the greatest place to be when we are suffering or enduring hardship. This would be the greatest place to be because we're told in Romans 14:9, pursue things that build up one another. 1 Corinthians 10:23 reminds us not all things edify. So that's a good reminder. Okay, not everything is edifying. So be careful with how we carry on. 1 Corinthians 10:8 would tell us, let all things be done for edification, right? So all that we do should be done for edification. So 1 Corinthians 14:12 would tell us that our spiritual gifts should edify one another. So if this is practiced, the soldier of Jesus Christ would come to a place like that, the assembling of one of believers, and would be refreshed because we're practicing this idea of edifying one another, always looking to build up one another, always looking to promote the word of God, of Christ. So a tired soldier who's discouraged would come here and be refreshed. If it's not practiced, then the tired soldier will struggle to advance, right? A tired soldier will continue on being tired. So I think it's very vital for all of us to be reminded, including myself, that when we're gathered, the goal is to edify. Because there are people among us that are struggling in different ways, as we discussed earlier. And what we want to do is refresh, encourage, edify. So it's very vital. And I like lists. I think you've already know that about me by now. And I've made a list that really does help me to check myself before I do something or say something. And this is I'm just going to go through that. There's 7 items. And this is the 7 items. Does this message promote Christ? If no, then reconsider. Does this promote me? If yes, then stop. Does this promote the world? If yes, then stop. Does this promote my ideas? If yes, then stop. There's a pattern here. I'm sure you've noticed that. Does this promote me to a higher place? If yes, then stop. Does this promote growth in the ones listening so that the people that are listening are refreshed, encouraged, and can advance in the battle of Christ? If not, then reconsider. Does this promote anything mentioned in Philippians 4:13 as a catch-all? Philippians 4:13, if no, then stop. Right? This is a place where we are to promote, encourage, edify, refresh one another. And that a place like that, when one who is suffering, who wants to advance but is suffering and is discouraged, would come here, you know what? They will leave encouraged. They will be refreshed. They'll be ready to keep moving. So as we suffer hardship, being among children of God truly is a help to us as we practice in this idea of edifying one another, refreshing one another, and building up one another to continue in advancing for the Lord. So as soldiers of Christ, we're going to summarize all that we've spoken on, all that I've spoken on. He says, as soldiers of Jesus Christ is what Paul likens to Timothy, is what we are as well. We are required to advance. We can't pack our bags, unfortunately. We cannot sit on our lazy boys and just call it a day. We are to advance because it helps us to be fruitful. And we are to look ahead. We are to spend time in his word. We are to speak to him for guidance and help in a time of need, and also spend time with children, his children, so that we can be refreshed and built up. And we just went and discussed about that idea of a place of refreshment is what this place should be, or what any place where children of God gather is, should be a place of refreshment, so that a good soldier of Jesus Christ can come and be encouraged and refreshed. So as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, again, back to the top, we will suffer hardship. And our Lord's faithful. He is merciful. He's graceful. He will be a help in our time of need, and he will help us advance forward. You know, the Lord's army is the only army that's worth being part of, right? When we think about the army that the world belongs to, it's an army with a general that changes every other week. It's an army that has its strategies changing every other day. It's an army that has no real good footing. It's an army with outdated weapons. But the army, the Lord's army, is the army where we have a Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the Word of God that is not going to change. The strategies of moving forward will not change. It's going to be the same, so we'll never have to be, when is the new edition of this will come out for us to change our strategy in moving forward? That will not change. So we can be so thankful that we are part of the Lord's army. Yes, there is suffering, but there is fruit as we push forward. So I just want to read to you before I close the first stanza of Onward, Christian Soldier. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful this evening to be called children of God, and help us, Father, to never be people that would forget that wonderful title that you have given us, and the work that you've done on the cross for us. Help us to always remember of that. Help us to build one another up as we may run into suffering in this world. And we know as soldiers of Christ that we will endure suffering. And so help us, Father, to be strengthened wherever we are lacking, wherever we are in need. Help, Father, we just ask for strength in that. Help us to be an encouragement and a refreshment to one another as well. Help us to carry forward so that we could live fruitful lives for you in the days to come. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.